Super Gamecast 64, episode 113. Today on the show, guys, we got a lot of announcements. We got some scary stuff. We got some Microsoft buy-in things, which could be scary, you never know. And a few surprising announcements from some of our favorite games.
Hey, the number 13 is kind of spooky. I guess that's what we got for you this week.
It's episode 113 of Super Gamecast 64. Spooktober continues, the Redux. Oh, speaking of Reduxes. Everyone loves the Redux intro music.
Yeah.
The spoopy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to usher in the DJ. DJ. Weird. I don't like it when I do the DJ.
I'll take it from here.
Thanks. I hope you guys really enjoy that spooktacular theme. That is something that I made in Fruity Loops in about 15 minutes. It's pretty much my
prodigy, man.
Yeah, my magnum opus. It's my crowning achievement. But you know what? There's plenty of stuff we got to talk about besides what I'm good at. We're not even going to do an intro jokey stuff. I think today's episode, you know, usually we go bi-weekly. The weekly is usually during the holidays. It's an interesting thing. Oh, shit, I forgot. This is an explicit program. Also, this is Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
my buddy over there, Tyler.
Hey, how you doing? That's Kevin over there.
Hey, hey.
Hey, all the games are here, and now you are too. Tyler's on the left, Kevin's on the right. Once again, I think this is just the new norm. Guys,
you forgot what the old norm was.
The old norm was, okay, we can bring this into our first news topic. You know, like, when people say they're gonna, say you get a car,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have enough money for the car, right?
Sure.
And they're like, we expect you to pay on this as time goes, but you'll get to keep the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're leasing it. Now, sometimes it's like the reverse of that, where you pay someone for something, and they say, we will give it to you over time. This is referred to as episodic games in our industry. Now,
what?
Wait, this is, it's a reach. But before, that's how it was. I'm just, Telltale Games is a thing, again, is that we're bringing it. I was trying to make the link there.
Great segue.
Dude.
It was awesome.
Is Telltale a Kickstarter now?
Telltale is starting their own kickstarting platform called We Won't Deliver Your Game Tale.
The stretch goals include punching their old CEO in the face.
Did that happen?
No.
Bringing back all their old developers Crumbs. And then firing them again.
Mm-hmm.
That's another... No, but for real. Okay, so last episode,
DLC.
if you listen to me get really mad about Telltale, you'll know that a lot of that came from me being upsetty-regretty that Telltale had canceled the Walking Dead fourth season, the final season.
You know what they should do? They should pool together all their money and start a Kickstarter and open up a new game studio called Tale Told.
Can you? Do you think you could start a new game studio with only $12.50 in your bank account?
Damn right you could.
Well,
$12.50.
That's enough to start a Patreon.
Start a lemonade stand, and if I know anything about lemonade stands from venture capitalist, you make enough lemonade stands, you could buy a newspaper route.
Here, okay, small side bar before we get into this Telltale news. Would you rather start a lemonade stand? Or invest in a pre-existing banana stand, because as we all know, there's always money in the banana stand.
But there's only money in the banana stand if you put the money there.
Well, how do you know it wasn't already there and you just... That's what I'm saying. Lemonade...
This is a joke I'm not getting.
Lemonade... Watch Arrested Development. Lemonade is over time, you make money. Whereas banana stand, you might get $1,000,000, you might get $1,000,000.
What he's saying is there's always money...
In the bananas.
Look, bananas are like 39 cents a pound, dude. You could just go buy your own bananas.
I believe you.
Yeah.
So Telltale, we all know Telltale Games shut down, yeah? Telltale Games, they fired all their... If you don't know, just listen to episode 112 of Super Gamecast 64. But the thing was, is that they had shut down their studio in the midst, or was starting to shut down their studio, in the midst of the final season of The Walking Dead, their most acclaimed series. I was super sad about that because they released 2 out of 4 episodes. And unlike the car leasing thing, the transition I was trying to make earlier, you will always get that bill for your car. But in the world of video games, sometimes you don't get those extra episodes that you paid for. However, Robert Kirkman himself, y'all know Robert Kirkman, he's the guy who walked The Dead originally.
Yep.
He's the one who was like, I'm going to make a Walking Dead.
He's the Dead Walker.
His company, Skybound, has actually purchased the rights, or they made a deal of some sort that they're going to be able to make the rest of the Walking Dead game episodes. They say they're going to try and hire on the original team, which I like, as long as those people are still around. That's what I thought. Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
I can't wait for the eventual spinoff, The Walking Ted.
Yeah, that's the Ted from, Ted the Dad from Stranger Things?
It's the guy from Better Off Ted.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It's like what's happening to him after the zombie apocalypse.
It's Walking Dead hyphen Ted.
No, it's just The Walking Ted.
The Walking Ted.
Yeah.
I'd buy it, but if it wasn't made by Telltale. That's the one thing I was hoping. I heard these talks that they're like, oh, we're going to remake it. We're going to try and bring on the original, or we're going to finish it. We're going to try and bring on the original team. And I was like, y'all fired these people with no severance. You think they're just going to be around and not have other jobs? And then I remembered the current job climate, especially in the game industry, not the easiest thing. So maybe they still are around. But we don't know yet. That was announced at New York Comic Con, which was just this past week. We'll know coming up. Guys, you don't really care about The Walking Dead specifically, but how do you think this is as an ending for the Telltale hoopla that just happened? Is there any other way that you would have rather seen this come out? I mean, we're getting the last two episodes made by Robert Kirkman's company, so you know it'll be decent source material, but...
I mean, my first introduction to The Walking Dead was the TV show, eventually followed by the comic books, which I thoroughly enjoyed more, and... Not to be hipster about it, but like they're better content.
The comics are completely different from the book.
And I read far enough ahead that like 2-3 seasons would have to pass before they got to that content. And I'm like, well, the show kind of sucks, so I'm not going to watch it. But maybe I'll pick it up there because I no longer had access to the following comics.
Some people originally thought that they were going to bring Clementine into the new. Because with episode or season 9 of The Walking Dead, like the Rick is leaving, I guess. I haven't watched it in like seasons, so this is what I'm just getting from the previews.
Yeah.
There was rumors in that community that they were going to bring her into the next season, but Robert Kirkman says they have no interest in bringing Clementine into the show is its own thing.
They should do a little reference at least.
I think they should.
Speaking of adding content, there was rumor that an old character who didn't make it through the show. I think he's a doctor named Herschel.
Herschel,
yes.
Yeah, the actor actually passed away this weekend.
Yeah, did you hear that on Alan Cox today?
No, I talked to someone who watches Alan or listens to Alan Cox.
There you go.
I can't remember his name. I will look for that while we discuss this next thing.
I think this is a Don't Dead Open Inside, buds.
What? Don't Dead Open? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. This whole Robert Kirkman thing. I don't know. It's Don't Dead Open Inside.
100%. That's what we're going to go with for now. I think Tyler is getting that stuff. We'll have his name. I can't remember his name because I hadn't seen him in a lot of stuff, but Herschel was great on the show. He was a great character. I kind of left after that season. That's when I fell off. While Tyler gets that, let's get into some...
Scott Wilson.
Scott Wilson. Yeah, I think he passed away like 77, 76. He's a great actor. So... Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
76.
76 years old. That's too young.
There you go.
Man, he looks way more different without that beard.
Yes. If you look up Herschel...
Scott Wilson.
Yeah, Scott Wilson. Sorry, I want to say Herschel Layton, which is Professor Layton. Anyways, let's move on. Some quick Microsoft announcements here. Guys, these are like things that are in works and rumored and not out yet. So take these with a grain of salt. But specifically today, Herschel Green. Herschel Layton is Professor Layton. Thank you. That's the character name on
Professor Layton from everybody's favorite game,
The Walking Dead.
Professor Layton and the Dubious Undies.
Professor Layton and the brain eating zombos.
Nah, it's never that. It's always an object. It's always adjective object.
You gotta keep it with the. I'm not creative enough at this point to think of something that would fit that. But if you guys want to cook on it and think
Professor Layton and the sexy air balloon.
Professor Layton and the creepy crawlies. There, that's one for Spooktober.
Sure.
Don't shoot me down this early, man.
It's okay.
Professor Layton and the rainy cloud.
There you go, bud.
That's an object.
You guys are just shooting for the stars, huh?
So Microsoft did two things. They did two things this week. They announced on their blog or wherever, and they did a YouTube video too.
See, they have a blog. I should have a blog.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Microsoft. I'm sure that Microsoft has a place where they can put written content. 100%. It would be silly if they didn't, considering they kind of invented the internet. Well, that's not...
Whoa, sorry.
They just put it into a text file and save it to the C drive.
.txt, run internet, .bat.
Yeah, sure, Jerry. We posted that blog post for you.
What they announced was xCloud. That's the official name, we'll see, of the streaming service. They were talking about E3. Remember they talked about E3? We want to have you play Forza on your phones, Gears of War on your tablets, making it streaming. Yep. This is pretty much more of that. They just said that they are working on the data centers in Quincy. They got the stuff up and running. It's supposed to be working on 4G with the understanding that you have 10 megabytes down per second. There's a lot of regions that don't have 10 megabytes down a second. But the idea is that you will be able to use this streaming service by connecting to Microsoft, and they're using their Azure cloud, right? Azure cloud servers. Long story short, they just busted down a bunch of Xboxes, created this Blade server system, and they can run virtual Xboxes and then stream it to any Android device or anything like that.
Now, I allegedly have 10 megs down on my internet, and it still took me 8 hours to download Destiny 2.
I allegedly also, I've seen upwards of 23 megabytes go through that thing, sometimes even 50, but it seems like it likes to chill more around 800 kilobytes per second.
Yeah.
So this is the question that it comes up, and we hear this all the time, that streaming services are good and work until they get popular, because no one ever takes into account the bandwidth and all that stuff, especially in big metropolitan cities.
My question in regards to this whole thing is, how many Xboxes before you have an X house?
How many boxes does it take to make a house?
Isn't an Xbox box just a small house for an animal?
Like a dog house?
Like a cat.
Alright, if you have two Xbox like One Xboxes. Wait, if you have two Xbox One Xboxes.
Okay.
And you stack three Xbox One S boxes on top of the Xbox One Xboxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might have yourself an Xbox condominium.
What you would have is an SS Xbox.
Jesus Christ. And we brought it all around. Winter's coming up, baby. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. No, I mean, who Xboxes the Xboxes?
How many boxes?
Who boxes the Xboxes?
This bit's running. I think, Kevin, you started off strong. I came in strong, too. You ended it at medium. I don't want to kill it anymore.
I just want to see a house made of Xboxes.
Make it happen, Reddit. We did it, Reddit. So this,
came here to say this.
This will be interesting. Tyler, any thoughts? Have you ever dabbled with streaming platforms, Tyler? I mean, the biggest one was PS Now, but I think there was, like, Steam. Didn't they do something to TVs?
Oh, we both bought one of those.
Okay.
Oh, I have that, yeah.
Is that streaming over network? Or,
yeah.
Sure.
And that...
Yeah, it's LAN.
It's... Okay, so this is...
Sure.
I don't know how this worked out.
I'm not a tech person.
Okay, basically it's a... I guess you can call it a console. It's like a little box that you plug into your TV and connect it to your Wi-Fi or Ethernet cable, and it has its own controller. And it just basically allows you to play Steam games on your TV. And it's pretty nifty, because you can stream it throughout the house.
It's useful. I have two, so I can specifically play on one of my other TVs when I'm not sitting in front
of the toilet TV.
I can play on the toilet.
Right? You've got me there.
So, Microsoft announcing the xCloud. We'll see. We'll hear more about it. They're saying 2019 is when they're starting testing, so who knows. This is the first half of their... Tyler's doing some aerobics.
He is.
In studio.
I have nothing to say. I'm just bored.
No, it's okay. We'll get there, bud. We have stuff for you specifically in the game section. That's why we're just going to run right through the rest of this news here. Sorry, guys.
Should we make up a new bit?
For right now?
I'm bouncing. I'm thinking. That's my thinking bounce.
Okay, you guys work on the new bit while I get through
Tyler
news.
No, Tyler should.
I'm working on it.
Well, then you guys do that while I work on the rest of this. Goddamn, we got to get to this news. Microsoft rumored to be buying Obsidian Studios is the next piece of...
Stop it.
The next piece of news we have here. The xCloud stuff, we'll hear more about that 2019, 2020. Don't worry, we'll tell you. But yes, this is a rumor But it would be in line with, like, what we saw at E3. They bought Playground Games, a la the Forza people. They bought Hellblade, the people who make Senua's Sacrifice.
Yep.
Or Ninja Theory. They made those. So, yeah, they're rumored to be buying Obsidian Studios. If you don't know Obsidian Studios, that's the fine fellas that made such wonderful games, like Star Wars Knights of Old Republic and Fallout New Vegas. Also,
Pillars of Eternity.
Pillars of Eternity, which was a massive Kickstarter success.
Is that the second one was the Kickstarter success?
I feel like either the first
to one the internet.
Was big on the Kickstarter, and the second one was published by them. While you look at that small detail, Kevin?
Who was it that made Fallout Nude Vegas?
That was, it was an internet sensation. He was the youngest modder ever known, 4 years of age, which was really weird as to how the sex scenes were so accurate, and almost just disturbing, even.
That's kind of prodigy status at 4, though. I mean,
well, it brought up a whole lot of problems with, like, legality, because he was having to go into these websites where there's 18 gates, and he pressed the check mark, and
yeah, but
we
that's
all...
up to him. That's on him.
I was, okay, all I'm going to say is that mod made me blush.
He's going to go to jail.
And knowing that it's coming from the upcoming generation, oh boy, y'all in for some crazy shit.
The kids aren't all right.
No, the kids are not all right. Except for sometimes when they are. Just don't make... What's happened to the nude mods? Is that still, like, a thing? Sorry to be, like, off topic. Nude mods...
You mean, like, in The Sims, where you could, like, move the shower while they're showering and see, like, the...
The boobs?
The butt?
And the butt?
They were still, like, blurred out. But yeah, you could.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, Lara Croft, there was always, like, nude Tomb Raider. Because she had big triangle boobs, so everyone was, like, really hot into that. But I feel like the nude codes have kind of dropped off as the internet just exists as a thing.
Yeah. You just go to Google, https://www.google.com and just type in boobs.
And then image search, but once again, safe search medium. You can't get directly into the internet. You don't know what kind of boobs you'll be seeing. And with that...
Because then the CIA can't see.
The SSA. I don't know what that stands for. Guys.
I would like to say...
Yes.
Both Pillars 1 and 2 were crowdfunded.
Okay, so
interesting.
I think Microsoft is in a big position here if they grab some role-playing game. Like a studio that's known for role-playing games, that's what they miss the most. PlayStation has the JRPGs, they have the RPGs. What Microsoft is missing out are some big first-party exclusives, namely RPGs. They always have action games, Gears of War, Halo, etc. They need some RPGs, and I think that Obsidian can do that for them. We'll see.
Microsoft. Matt is saying that Destiny isn't a good enough RPG.
Look, Destiny.
Yeah, he'd be wrong.
Destiny is a pretty okay time. We'll talk about it. Game of the Year 2018. Destiny 2 was our Game of the Year 2017, but we will talk about Forsaken at the end of the year. Kevin, I'm going to pass this one right over to you, bud.
That's me.
The game you talk about all the time got an announcement, so why don't you tell us?
All right, so Road Rash is coming out.
Fuck, no, I love Road Rash. Road Rash. No, hold on. Road Rash, you couldn't have... Could you make a Road Rash nowadays? Just straight-faced. If you don't know what Road Rash is a game where you're a motorcycle guy, you're racing, but more importantly, you could, like, whip cops with chains. And, like...
Mobile. It would have to be mobile.
Yeah, I don't think we could do... They tried to... Okay, here's a funny joke, because I just remembered they tried to release a Road Rage on Xbox One last year. So the answer to my proposed question is no, they can't, because no one cares about Road Rage. I don't think it was the cop stuff. It was more just no one wanted to buy the poopy game.
Back to the topic at hand.
Yes.
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal Black 4. Don't worry about 3. It never existed.
It's just the clown. Everybody gets to play the clown. The ice cream truck.
It's just the clown simulator.
You gotta actually, but he's going straight, so you gotta actually hand out the ice cream.
Hell yeah. All right, here's the news.
You still have a flaming clown head on your...
How twisted is this metal? Jeez.
Yeah, it's bad.
Twisted enough.
So, everybody's favorite farming sim.
Harvest Crossing.
Yep. Damn it. You beat me to it.
Gotcha.
Stardew Valley, a little game you might have heard of before, maybe, on this show.
I heard it was on the Nintendo Switch, and it was on Xbox, and might be getting a multiplayer thing.
Last episode, you heard that the multiplayer for Switch, the long-awaited multiplayer for Switch, I believe, and Xbox, is in QA. But... They dropped another little spicy surprise today.
Yes.
As of October 24th, pre-orders open today, you can get the game on iOS. So
iOS. Okay.
Oh, great. Thanks.
I can buy it a fifth time.
Appreciate it.
But not Android.
Not Android.
Okay. Guess I can't buy that.
I mean, I'm sure it's gonna come to Android.
No. I'm hearing what you're saying, but what I'm not freaking out about that. What I'm freaking out about is the idea of we've now entered a world in which crossplay across all things is a possibility, and Stardew Valley would be one of the only games that's available on all mobile, all consoles and PC,
correct,
and is having an online component right now. So the idea of maybe a Nintendo Switch person playing with an Xbox player, mobile, that kind of stuff is really, really crazy cool to me.
Which is really what the world needs right now, okay? We live in a very divided... We live in a society.
We live in a society. Gamers rise up. Which...
We live in a very divided world right now. Isn't that what we need most? Everybody playing together?
Everyone come together and call your farm. Get your crops and stuff.
If fuck every other game, okay? Fuck your Fortnite.
Hey, bro.
Fuck your Call of Duties.
Don't say fuck Fortnite, because then Epic will come and they'll just liquidate our whole life.
That would not be very epic. Fuck your Telltales and your Gex. And your Banjo-Kazooie, Stardew Valley, forever.
Those are fighting words.
The future.
The future is here.
The future is the past, baby. Farming. That's what we're all going to be doing in 30 years anyway.
October. He's not wrong. October 24th.
When the world's completely underwater.
You can imagine it. You can grab that on mobile October 24th. If you want to play Stardew Valley, you can get it on all sorts of other systems for, I think, like $20-25. Or just call Kevin. He'll probably send you one.
Just call me. I own four different copies. I'll play it literally. I'll play it on a rock. I'll just draw shit in the sand.
I just wanted to bring this up real quick. As we exit this news segment, 20 minutes of delicious content, we're going to be getting to the goofs, we're going to get some games, but if you guys follow the show, you know that I love the awesome Games Done Quick, Summer Games Done Quick events. Well, maybe not love, but I cover them for work often. They're 7-day long speed running marathons in which a bunch of speedrunners from across the world gather together in one hotel in a big convention, and they play video games really fast, nonstop, for 7 days.
Well, they try to find the cheaters.
Yeah. Don't want to cheat when you're doing the speed run. It is actually really cool. You know, you got a bunch of classic games, modern games, and they're doing it all to raise money for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. It is the second week of January, and it's on twitch.tv/gamesdonequick. If you want to check out the schedule, it is now live. So if you go to gamesdonequick.com/schedule, you can see all the crazy speed runs that will occupy that week. And I just wanted to say, it's not very good for Spooktober, because not many horror games, but it is very, very good lineup. Tyler, were you just
He was milking an imaginary cow.
Sideways.
As an Italian, I talk with my hands, and as an Italian, Tyler talks with his hands.
Matt, are you 100% Italian?
I am 50%, babe.
That's why you talk with your left hand.
Yeah, I'm ambidextrous, so I talk with both.
Damn, that's some good Italian band right there.
Dude, you remember that episode when we rated the different kinds of Italian? No, you just saw, you said zesty Italian. Who is zesty Italian? Was that me or was that Tyler?
Tyler's a little zestier than you are. You're classic Italian.
Classico. There it is. All right. Games are fun. And
so
games...
That neither of us are creamy Italian?
No, dude. Nah, okay. The creamy Italian is Young Dan. Young Dan is creamy Italian. You heard that here first, folks. So the news was good. Guys, I'm excited that we're going to get Walking Dead back, hopefully. I'm excited that Microsoft is making these big plays for the next gen. They needed to after getting beat up by PlayStation.
Microsoft kind of needs to work on their marketing a little bit.
I think so. I think they've been coming around.
It's a little milquetoast.
Is that a joke?
There's a Q in there somewhere.
Yeah. Milquetoast. MILQUETOAST.
I missed the reference.
Spell fast.
I'm just saying it's not exciting.
It's
Microsoft
plain.
Is like,
it
come
gets the
look,
job done.
They look like Microsoft.
Come look at this server. Get hype about computers.
And that's the thing is that that announcement I was talking about earlier was very much from a Microsoft end and not an Xbox studio end.
That's what I'm saying.
I think
you look at OneDrive, you look at OneNote, it's all business.
It is all OneNote. All right, guys. Games. We've been playing a lot of games. Even though we just did an episode last week, I was surprised at the amount of games we've been playing. Mm-hmm. Tyler, let's kick it off with a blast from the past.
It's time for the Tyler. I hope y'all are ready.
I mean, there's really not a whole lot to talk about that.
Oh, man. Those recording things are so quiet. I feel like I'm...
Speak up.
It's time to talk about 1985.
He actually did not blow out the mics. Back. All right, McFly. So
back to the past.
So the Switch made their Switch Online thing, and it came with this Netflix of NES, where there's how many games are there, Tyler? Like a dozen or so? I don't
count them. There's probably 17.
There's tens of them.
Exactly. I feel like there's at least like maybe 20. Maybe to 15. 20. Did you play any of these classic NES games?
Yeah, I played Double Dragon. I played Legend of Zelda. That's about it.
Okay, so I'm not gonna Legend of Zelda. We all know holds up.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if I could find the strength bracelet in the world, and I couldn't.
The better question is, when you watched Double Dragon and you saw them punch that poor girl in the beginning,
I got mad. I got mad. I got good. Rage.
Good. How angry on a scale of 1 to 10 did it make you, as compared to the opening scene throwing a baby off a cliff?
Well,
that's Tekken 7.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, that would be a set that the baby throwing.
Yeah.
Is a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Double Dragon scale only goes to 9 because you don't want double digits on the NES.
Sure.
That would be a 9.
Better question. What would it be if it was a baby girl and they punched it and then threw it off a volcano? Would that be a 11?
16.
Nice. All right. Well, now you heard it here first.
9 and 7.
Is there
a math joke?
Is there any fun features with these NES classic things?
No. I mean, other than you can play them online.
Well,
yeah, you can play them on the pooper. That's about
it. Mom
would never let you do that.
Did you? That's pod racing. Did you?
Why is the tube TV in the shower?
Why is there a CRT on top of the toilet? Did you play online at all? Is it like matchmaking or is it friends list only or is it matchmaking? Like, if I want to play Double Dragon, can I just press a button and play with some random a la Capcom?
Did you do it? Are you trying to pry an answer of me? I don't know.
No, I'm just what I'm saying. when you press like Double Dragon,
yes,
and there's online.
I went to single player.
Oh,
I don't. But there is. I just wanted to play the game.
Okay, I feel. But is there like an online? How does the online functionality work? Or do you know? Or did you?
I do not know.
Okay, we'll figure it out eventually. I feel like Kevin, our good friend Kevin, he's uploaded a lot of that Nintendo Switch stuff.
Kevin, not this Kevin.
He'd know. But yeah, NES classics. You can play them on your Switch, and you can play them online. So if you want some online Mario, hopefully it works. I saw that Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle was not doing too hot with the latency, so that made me sad and not buy it. I haven't gotten Nintendo Switch Online because I'm waiting for our Lord and Savior Super Smash, and then I'll be forced to get it.
I forgot about that.
Nintendo Switch Online?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's far enough out that like there's more things that are you know, on the horizon.
Smash is something that as soon as you hear it, you go, oh yeah, I'll be getting that.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to be good, so I don't...
Dude, oh, we got so much coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot. We'll talk about it.
Oh, God. My Hero 1's Justice, RDR2, Fallout 76. We got...
Let's Go Pikachu. Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah, we got Hitman 2. Mario Party just came out.
Spyro.
Ugh.
Battlefield. Call of Duty.
Ugh.
Soul Calibur 6.
I almost am upset by how many games are coming out. Because I'm not going to have enough time to play them.
The World Ends With You Switch, Call of Cthulhu.
That's Friday.
Yeah, dude, it's coming up.
No shit.
Or it's today. Friday. Yeah, the Call of Duty, Luigi's Mansion, and The World Ends With You are all Friday.
Ugh.
And then, oh, here's a real kicker.
My body.
Spyro, Fallout, Hitman, and Pokemon are all within a 3-day period. And that's in the middle of
I'm
the
I'm going to say something real controversial here.
Yes.
And the only thing out of that list that I really feel like prioritizing is probably going to be Pokemon.
Yeah, I didn't know.
No,
it was
that's not controversial. I thought you were gonna.
Okay.
After all the stuff that came out about Fallout 76 lately, because they just had like this preview event.
Yeah.
It's looking like it's basically Fallout 4 with, you know, you'll meet up with people, but it's a big area. It's basically kind of a standard Fallout experience, but just with some online components. It'll be interesting to play, but I don't think it's going to be the biggest thing that everyone thought it was going
to
be.
I want it to be Fallout, but with, like, Dark Souls online stuff.
Oh, so it's like you can leave, like, a little note?
Yeah, but it's, like, pre-selected words.
Watch out for toxic hole. Yeah. we'll get into that another time. Dark Souls is great. There is something called the Dark Souls Trilogy coming out for Xbox One and PS4.
Did anybody get a chance to play the Dark Souls network test?
No.
No? Okay, so this is something I did get to do. And this was a few weeks ago. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm late to the party on this one.
I'm late to the party on Dark Souls in general.
So you got to select between 6 different pre-made Dark Souls characters that started well beyond the you've died and you're like in the castle. So interesting things could happen. So the first thing that happens is I spawn in, and so does someone else, and I get my shit wrecked, and I immediately turn it off.
Wait, so is this on Switch?
Or what? Yeah, it's on Switch.
Oh yeah, that's right, because they had to push the online back. I'm just glad that Nintendo Switch is getting a lot of online stuff, and I'm glad that the companies are trying and doing these latency tests, not just throwing it up there like haphazardly, like many people would with Nintendo ports.
I'm kind of upset with my Switch right now.
Why?
Well, so
it's full. Is that why?
Well, no. I bought a 128 gig micro SD card.
Was it a Samsung legitimate?
It's a Samsung Evo, and I bought it online. And I put it in, and I downloaded stuff to it, and it was working fine. And then one day it just didn't, and it hasn't since.
I'd be mad too.
Yeah, so like every time I try to initialize a download, it throws an error code and stops and won't continue. So I took it out, I told it was a bad boy, and I set it on the shelf, and I haven't touched it since. And now I have, you know, the standard like 4-game space on my Switch.
Speaking of bad boys, let's talk about Amnesia Justine. I'm hopping ahead a little bit here, because I feel like for a Spooktober special, we haven't talked about a lot of spooky things. So let me do that. NES Classics, though, here's what I want to hear from you, Tyler, of what you saw, because I still can't remember the whole entire roster, of what you played.
Oh, I played Goose and Coasts. That's on there.
Okay, I remember you talking about that when we first talked about it, is that you were excited for that. Do you think that with what all of the Nintendo Switch Online offers, and the NES Classic stuff, the Netflix stuff, is it worth the $20 a year? I mean, it's $20 a year.
That's really not bad. It's one third the cost of gold.
Exactly.
Or plus.
So you're going to go ahead and say you recommend it.
I don't not recommend it.
I'm just between whether or not I get it now or wait until Smash. Because we have Super Mario Party, which we'll talk about here in a bit.
You have any online games you're playing?
No.
You plan on getting one?
No, until Super Smash Bros. Probably not.
Then get it then.
I like NES games, though.
Do you want to play them now, or is
your, I have literally, like, I think I have every NES game on my phone, because all 600 NES games, or all 800 NES games compiled together is like 15 megabytes.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's good. It's a good thing.
By the way, I guess people were hacking that, the NES Classics, to run other ROMs, but you have to have a hacked NES Classic, or hacked Nintendo Switch. Sorry, this is getting confusing. Let's move back to games. Yeah, so NES Classics, fun stuff. Amnesia. I talked last week about the Amnesia Collection. At that point, I had beaten the first game, The Dark Descent.
That's the first one.
That's the first one.
What's the second one?
Amnesia Justine, which is not actually a second game. It's more like an expansion that was later marked differently in compilations.
So it's not the second one? It's like 1.5?
Yeah, it's like an expansion for The Dark Descent.
So would you say that it's not a second one at all?
It's hard to say, because it's because when they released Amnesia Collection, and then later on they made it a standalone thing, I don't know.
How much was it?
I have no clue when it launched, probably like 10, 15 bucks. The point being that I don't think it was worth whatever they launched, because god damn it, Kevin just brought up a picture of the classic Bowser.
That's a Goomba.
Yeah. Oh, that's a Goomba. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. It's been a while since I've seen Super Mario Brothers. Thanks.
Spooktober.
Man. Spooktober. Top tier distraction studio. That is scary, and I'm glad that you did that, because this game, I mean, it's not
like
very scary.
Looks like the dad from Dinosaurs.
Amnesia Justine, like I said, is an expansion. You're a woman named Justine, and you wake up in a cell because you've made yourself pass out by drinking the amnesia potion. And then you have to kind of go through this. It's about an hour long the first time you go through. And then once you know the puzzles, it's like 30 minutes. But you have to make decisions on whether or not these people live or die. And that affects the ending somewhat. Generally speaking, it's really short. It also has permadeath, because without that, it would be like a 20-minute thing. So it's an interesting. I guess I don't really have much. I just want to say that I played it, because I felt like I did it, and then the world didn't change at all, and I didn't feel any different after playing it, because it's not that scary.
It's almost like you forgot.
Yeah, it's a very forgettable experience. But Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, quite good. You know, quite good. It's not the technical marvel I was hoping. It's actually kind of dark, much darker and harder to see than the first game. But whereas Dark Descent, the original game, was very, like, obtuse and didn't have a lot of guidance, Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, is also obtuse and doesn't offer a lot of guidance. But the story is easier to follow. It's basically, you wake up, you're a guy, you fall out of bed, you're like, not this again. And then your kids run across the room, and they're like, come chase us, daddy. And you're like, not this again. And then they're like twins, and little kids in horror games, never good. And you can kind of just piece it together from there. There's a giant underground thing, pigs.
He wakes up and everybody like looks at him like he's ugly, and they all have pig faces.
Spoilers for
all go to work and stuff.
Spoilers for Twilight Zone season 2.
Look, if you wanted to watch it, you would have watched it already.
Yeah, no, it's spoiler. Only 40 years old.
No spoiler alerts.
Dude, I'm amped for that Twilight Zone reboot with Jordan Peele. I don't know if you guys heard of that. Jordan Peele, the mastermind behind Get Out, comedic genius behind Key and Peele. Well,
Fifth Dimension, dude.
Fifth Dimension, we'll do it. Yeah, Amnesia is fun stuff.
So Amnesia has 2.5 games.
It's like 2.5 games, and depending on whether or not you like these kind of slow, non-combat horror games that are kind of hard to figure out, it might have 0 games because you might not want to buy it. I mean, it's really up to you. I think, coming away from this, I played all 3 Amnesia games that they have in the series over the course of like a weekend. I would say they're definitely classics. You can see the influence, but I didn't have as much fun playing them as I did with Outlast. And Outlast is kind of the same thing.
Not enough dead babies in that one?
No, it's not that. It's just the Amnesia. It's just, it takes place in like the 1800s, and they're never very straightforward about the story. All of the story itself is found in these notes that you get, which are all written in kind of old-timey English. So unless you are like prone to, what's it? Literary fiction, right? It's kind of hard to get through. And that being said, it's not that scary. But Amnesia, if you like those old school things, I would pick it up just for posterity. But if you're looking for a hot new first person horror game, Amnesia Collection probably not it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. What do we want to talk about next? There's so many games we have here. I just talked about Amnesia. Here's one that me and Kevin played. And Kevin, I'm gonna let you headline it here.
Yeah? You gonna let me?
You went and you had a little party yourself.
I did.
I had a party myself.
But it was more of like a Super Kevin party.
And mine was more like a Super Dan party, and then Super Matt showed up because he had the Nintendo Switch and he bought Super Mario Party, so we were playing it.
Yeah, I just still need to go pick it up. But same. Super Mario Party.
Yeah, yeah. 80 new minigames, 4 new maps. It's all your friends are here. Even Waluigi.
Even Waluigi.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I think the little feature where everyone has their own dice block is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's a cool thing. So every character, because there's like, what, 12, 15 different characters? Some of them are
Well, there's like the OG crew, and then Bowser and his thug show up, and they're like, yo, we like to party too, don't forget about us.
You got Dry Bones, you got Shy Guy, but all these... Boo, yeah, mm-hmm, and all these characters, when you're rolling the dice, this is Mario Party. If you don't know what Mario Party is as a concept, I don't know what to do. I think it's
we tried.
Board game with mini games.
We tried to raise you... You know, as best we could.
This is like the 15th one, if you include the 3DS ones.
Yep.
Anyways, instead of just rolling your own, you know, your standard 1 through 6 dice block, each character has their own dice block, like Kevin said. So, for example, I think Shy Guys is like, you can maybe get a 0, but everything else is like a 4. So if you really, really need a 4, there's that. I think Yoshi is 0 to 7.
Yep.
There's a bunch of different stuff. Some of them you get coins.
Some of you get negative coins.
It's all risk reward. It adds a small layer of strategy to the play. So when you're fucking your friends over, you can really decide how you want
to
do it.
I will admit, it's a little too easy to get stars.
They have lowered the star count or the star requirement for coins. You used to need 20 coins.
Yeah.
Which, when you play the game, you know, that comes from maybe like 2 or 3 minigame wins, blah, blah, blah. Now it's 10 coins, which is literally just land on 3 spaces.
And on top of that, in some maps, like you encounter the little like caterpillar guy.
Yes.
And he can sell you a golden pipe for 15 coins, I think, and it takes you right to the star.
Generally speaking, Super Mario Party, in comparison to the other Super Mario games, feels faster. The maps are smaller.
Yes.
It's all about making these really big dice rolls.
It definitely has evolved with the times, though. I really think they're moving. I mean, they're up against, like, old Super Mario tended to drag on, and I think we had a little more patience for that back then.
Yeah.
This is a little bit more, like Matt said, fast-paced. The minigames I played were a lot of fun and included use of the Joy-Cons in creative ways, really using that HD rumble.
This is what I want for WarioWare. the kind of minigames they're making.
Did you get a chance to play any of the alternative games?
No. Okay. I just played like a, I think two or three games on the different maps. I saw that there's a challenge island where you can go through all 80 new minigames. They'll have their own little challenges. There's a co-op mode or something like that I saw my little brother playing. And besides
get this,
that...
Get this. Tyler, I want you to take your hands. I want you to sit on them real quick.
Why is he sitting on his...
He's got to hold on to his butt.
Hold on to your rear end, bub.
Hold on to my butt. A separate game mode called Sound Stage.
Oh, yeah, this was cool.
Okay.
What?
It is a full continuous game. You play all the way through, and you have to do certain things to a beat. It is a rhythm game.
It's like a sub mode.
You play it collectively, and the you know, you play against your friends. So, like, one of them, your character is marching in a band, and so you have to shake the Joy-Con in time with the music, up and down and up and down, and you know,
like
some
the baton.
Of them, right. There's one where you're on a window cleaning platform and you're moving up the building, and you have to swipe when there's stuff on the glass. And boy, howdy, was it fun!
It's music centric, and that's the thing I liked about this Mario Party.
You can let go of your butt.
It's now that you've experienced
unless you want to keep them there.
No, it hurts. I got
Tyler likes
down there.
Tyler likes music a lot.
I don't rhythm games a lot.
And this is, yeah, the rhythm game stuff was actually pretty decent in this. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is probably the best thing that we could have gotten. With all the different things that Mario Party has done as a franchise and all the different new ideas they've tried out, the ideas that they've tried out here and the new additions are actually all pretty good. I don't have much in the way of complaints. Maybe they should have added, like, one or two more maps, because there's only, like, four maps, I think. But beyond that, I like the games. I like the characters. Tyler?
How much customization is there?
As far as, like, picking your character?
No, as far as, can you change the board roughly, or is it always the same board?
It's...
Like, can you increase the number of red spaces? Can you increase the star value? Can you...
I don't know 100%, but...
I will say... Totally unrelated to what you just said, so we can get back to that before I forget. The bonus stars are not as a bullshit.
Bonus stars were all over the place.
I would say they're more bullshit because they're not reliable. Like there's a bonus star for moving the most spaces, and there's also a bonus star for moving the least spaces.
Yes, I like that.
In the old Mario Party, you could play and
that's just the same amount of bullshit.
But in the old Mario Party, you knew it was either stars or minigames, coins, or question mark spaces. So you could play, and there's a risk reward of, do I want to step on the question mark space so I can potentially get the bonus star later? This one, you never know what they're going to be. And so for that specifically, it's like, oh, I can maybe win this bonus star later, but I don't know if they're going to give me the one for moving super far or not moving at all. They come down to the reliance on bonus stars is pretty big. But at the same time, like we said earlier, you can get stars in like two turns. It's very quick.
Back to what Tyler said.
Yes.
Is there customization?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, there's the normal Mario Party stuff of, like, you can screw over your friends by changing, like, oh, moving the thwomp.
You smell that? I smell a new game coming on. Super Mario Party Maker.
Oh, shit.
No. There is, I mean, there obviously, at the end of the game, they're spoilers for Super Mario Party? Is that a thing?
Just do it.
Is there a story? I mean, it's not even a story. They just tease there's going to be Mario Party 2. I mean, like, they're like, the next party. So I feel like that's the logical jump. Then I guess spoilers for all Mario Party. I feel like that might be the next thing.
You know you're supposed to say the spoilers before you
say spoiler?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. No, next time I'll do that. Snape kills Dumbledore. Spoilers for Harry Potter 6.
No, you still did it backwards.
Sorry. Spoiler. No, I said spoiler first. You spoil... God damn it! You fucking Forza Horizon 4 story content.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I wanna interject here, since I didn't add this thing to the thing.
My part.
We were also talking about rhythm games.
Oh, yeah.
I bought Thumper because it was on sale.
Thumper's a good time,
Thumper
man.
Is super Thumper. Cool. Thumper is a... What they call it an... action violence.
It's the one where you're going really fast down one...
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're going really fast down one lane.
Yeah.
And it was in PSVR. It's got really trippy visuals, but you're like smacking to the right and left, and it's very percussive.
Yeah.
If you haven't played it, it's going to be hard to... But once you play it once, you're like, oh, this is Thumper. It's very... It's EDM music, but it's very, very percussive.
Sort of. I wouldn't say it's maybe I didn't get there yet.
This is.
I just want you to not. It's not like, you know, 80s rock music. It's all some sort of electronic music.
Yeah. Or yeah.
This is skipping ahead to Mobile Corner, but have you heard of Line Dancer?
No. I'll get that.
Check
right
it
now.
Out.
Thumper though. Thumper's on a lot of things. Like it's on PlayStation, VR, Switch. I don't think it's on Xbox, or maybe it is. No, it's definitely on Xbox. I think it's on everything at this point. If you're looking for a new the rhythm game, sorry, my brain, and you like percussion a lot, and you like fast, and like you said, violent, but not violent in the kind of standard like blood and violence, but violent in like very fast actions, very in your face.
Yeah,
it's a good time. Yeah, let me just talk about this Forza real quick while you look up Line Dancer. Forza Horizon 4. I've played a lot of this. I've played 30 plus hours of this. Kevin, you know how much I've played of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I've been playing both Forza and Assassin's Creed like no one's business, but I've been playing a lot of Forza, more than that. I'm like level 82. I don't know. If you don't play Forza Horizon, that's not going to mean anything to you. But here's the thing. I fully recommend Forza Horizon 4 at this point. The question for me was I going to give it a perfect 10? That answer is going to be no. Kevin, do you have something to add?
No.
It's okay. Line Dancer. Mobile game stuff coming up soon.
Sorry.
The reason why, and I just want to say this, is because Forza Horizon is a franchise I don't think a lot of people have come onto. They're just now getting into it. Forza Horizon 3, and I believe 2, also had this thing called Bucket List, where it was, you know, 30 to 40 challenges. They all centered around a car-specific thing. I've talked about this before. You know, take this Volkswagen around this golf course and get a bunch of high score. You know, take this really, really fast Lambo and go 270 miles an hour down the straightaway. They felt crafted for the car specifically. Forza Horizon 4 doesn't have that. What they've done is they've replaced it with four different, what they call story chapters. One, you are a stuntman. And each of these chapters has 10 different levels or stages associated with it. One, you're a stuntman. One, you are in a drift club. One, you are driving for this girl who's making YouTube videos about her favorite racing games. And the other one, I'm struggling to remember because it's that forgettable. Oh, you open a business with the fastest cars in the area. So the problem is that the bucket list was really cool, unique challenges wrapped around in this one feature. The Forza Horizon story stuff swaps out that, replaces the single player, not the single player, but the story progression, and what you get are essentially 10 stages that are ho-hum. Like, the stunt one is cool. There's, like, a few really cool ones, because you're doing stunt stuff, jumping off these big ramps, but oftentimes it's like, hey, we need a shot of you driving this old classic car really fast without hitting anything. And that's not really stuntman stuff. I mean, it's a different container for that little mission, but it's not really stuntman stuff. All 10 of the Drift Club ones, you're just drifting really fast around corners. I don't care if you want to call it a story thing, because there's no story. You just meet a guy, and this is how all of them start. You'll meet a person, and they'll be like, yo, my name is standard white person name, and this is a Drift Club, or this is racing, and then you just pick from a list. So there's really no story content anyways. I'd say the coolest one is the one with the girl, and she's doing her YouTube video, because they take the cars that they're referring to, like Smuggler's Run. They'll give you the car from Smuggler's Run with the actual body paint and stuff. And it feels like you're actually playing a little bit of the game. Like when they do Outrun, I felt like I was using the Outrun car. I'm sure I was. There's a lot of cool stuff there. But in comparison to the bucket list, it's a step down. And everything else about Forza Horizon 4 is a step up towards like kind of what I like. So I highly, 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 highly recommend Forza Horizon 4 with the small caveat of if you played the previous ones and you like the bucket list, it's not in there anymore. And it's enough for me to feel a teeny bit disappointed. That's probably the last I'll say about Forza Horizon 4. That being said, if I had to score it currently, I would give it a 9.5. My full review will come out, so if you want to know the reasons behind those 9.5s, feel free. But I'm sure I've talked about it on the show enough as is. One last thing about that. Here's the thing. Forza, people listen up. Anybody listen up. At the beginning of the seasons, because you can go online to the online version of it, and they have season-specific races, right? there is a like really hard trial, there is a seasonal championship, and then there's something else that pops up, and it's like a special event. I go to the special event. It's like, hey, do you want to do this? It's a James Bond thing. And I'm like, hell yeah, I want to do a James Bond thing. I press A. It's like, you don't have the car required. I'm like, that's cool. I have a lot of credits. I'll buy a car. Press A. The one car you can use, it's this James Bond car. That's cool. I'll buy it. Press A, connecting the store. It's $10 to buy the car pack. And I'm like, you're going to make me go through 5 menus before you make me, and the point is, it's like, when you jump into the online, it's like, here's the 3 things you can do this season. At no point, I'm like, one of these 3 things is behind a paywall that you can only get if you buy the DLC. Like, you just put a little asterisk as you must have DLC car for this. Don't make me go through the 7 steps to realize I don't have a third of the content you're offering. I don't want to spend $10. I'm sorry. I don't like James Bond that much. Forza Horizon 4, good stuff. Super Mario Party.
Would you pay $007, though?
Honestly, you know what? You know what? Yes, because there was something that was $6 this week that I was seriously thinking about buying that was DLC, and I don't even own the base game. We'll talk about that in a minute here. Come back to Super Mario Party. We're all recommending that, yeah?
For sure.
Yeah, I recommend it.
I didn't play it.
Tyler, what's your favorite Mario Party or favorite Mario Party era? Like between
none, not at all.
What's your favorite party, Mario Party mini game?
What's your favorite party?
The party
also
in your pants. And I'm invited. Classic.
You're not invited.
Oh, damn. Then it's not even a great of a party. It's a. Who am I kidding? His pants party's always great. 15 minutes in, we're talking about Tyler's junk. Let's talk about.
It only took 15 minutes this time.
Let's talk about something else that's Tyler's junk. Momodora. Ooh wee! That was a rip of Tyler not liking good games. But I did look this up. It is on Steam. It's like 10 to 15 bucks, I think. This is in a long series of games. It has like some anime cartoon kind of graphics. Looks pretty cool.
This is the 4th in the series, this one.
Momodora Reverie of.
Under the Moonlight.
Reverie of Under the Moonlight.
I looked this shit up. I was interested when you told me. So tell me more about Momodora, because I was interested in the style and I want to know what kind of game it is.
Momodora is a Metroidvania with mostly pixelated graphics. It is anime style, like Matt said. That is, most of the characters are...
anime girls?
Females.
Hey, it's okay.
And they all have huge... eyes.
Personalities.
No, eyes. They've literally, the only thing you can tell is they have huge eyes.
If you've seen an anime before, you probably know
what it's about. Except for the one boss.
They have super, super small eyes, and they're like, that's the anti-anime! Must kill him!
Anime.
It teaches you really quickly. It's a very simple game. You either hit stuff, or you jump, or you use your item.
Jump and shoot.
It's really simple, and I liked how... I guess I wanted a quick Metroidvania to front to back in one day, and that's what this was. This was probably a 3-hour game that I beat in 5. I took a couple breaks, one to take lunch, one to take a nap, and I just left it on.
Just take your time, generally.
Yeah.
And it's a good time, huh?
It was a great time. I mean, it's pretty tough and kind of frustrating at points.
We do have a category. It's in the works. I can't 100% guarantee it, but we do have a category for Game of the Year called Best New Game That Looks Like an Old Game. Maybe we'll see that there.
I like that category. That's my category.
Can we do a worst game?
We could do Biggest Disappointment. I didn't know if we wanted to get cynical.
That's not what I said.
Worst game? Okay, worst game this year. Maybe we'll talk about it.
The biggest disappointment is very distinct from worst game.
Yes, because there was one that you thought was going to be good versus one that everyone knew was probably going to be shit.
and we still had to play it.
The Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery. There you go. There's your biggest disappointment.
Ooh, is that the phone game?
Yep. Yeah. You don't even need that category because no one's going to argue with
Whomping
me on that
Willow,
one.
Baby.
Whomping Willow. You acquire 20 energy to look at Hermione's face and talk to her. She's not even in that game, I don't think. Anyways.
No, they're not, none of them are in that game.
Yeah, it's all like discount drug mark fucking Harry Potter characters.
Yeah, like his Miney.
His Miney. Hey, my name is Run.
Run Weasel.
I can't wait for that Harry Potter game. All right, talking about games where you jump, you shoot, it's pretty basic, but they're still a good time. I'm bringing both of us in on this one.
Mm-hmm. Dang. Yeah, me too.
So last night, I was like,
you didn't buy this game.
You think I don't know about Gears?
Hey,
I don't think you know anything about.
Okay,
Gears.
Hold on. Let me preface this. I went to the Red Box last night. I was watching a. We had a family night where I watched a movie with my mother. And I said, Mother, we're going to watch Ready Player One by Steven Spielberg.
Spiegelberg.
I still like it. I still had a good time. My mother liked it quite a bit. When I went back to the red box, I hit return. I put in my red box disc oh so gently. I didn't want to bust up that Blu-ray.
And it sucked you in. All of a sudden, you were in the Oasis.
And when
Nolan
I
Bushnell.
Nolan Bushwell. And just Bushwell. No. I didn't get sucked in, thankfully. I've heard about a lot of grotesque murders where childs are being sucked in by their fingers, you know, get ground up. Sorry, I've been reading that Haunted book, and it's just been really affecting my creative process. No, I hit rent games. I don't know why I hit rent games. I was like, games have been coming out. I did it. I rented the game.
I can't believe you only rented this game.
Look, bro.
It's literally on your body.
I'll buy it later. I don't have a lot of money. Look, I
guess I'll spend more money now to buy it later.
Why are you telling everybody about Matt's Kevin tattoo?
This isn't a game about you.
Oh, okay.
Or other Kevin. Or that bird from that one movie.
God damn it.
This is a game. Finding Dory. This is a game. It's the 11th game. Tyler, what is the game?
Mega Man 11.
Finally, the reveal. That was like a 2.5 minute
bit. I'm sorry, dude. It's probably the biggest bit. I love the blue bomber.
I like big bits, and I cannot lie.
Nice.
He's pretty fantastic, and this game is hard.
It is kind of tough. Question you, Tyler. How many bosses have you beaten?
One.
I had started playing today. Before we started recording the show, I was like, I'm going to pop this in. I know Tyler's played more of it than me at this point. I died on the first guy, Blockman.
You got to Blockman?
I didn't get to Blockman. I got past the second mini-boss where there's like the spinning cylinders and stuff like
God,
that.
God, they're awful.
Yeah, yeah. You can do the charge thing. Okay, Mega Man 11. It's basically Mega Man. I think that's the big thing.
But the 11th.
I think that's the big thing to pull away from this is unlike Mighty No. 9 and other things, they didn't add too many new features. Yes, there is this new double gear system, but beyond that, it's pretty much the Mega Man that you know and love gameplay-wise, just with a different visual look, which is what everyone was asking for, yeah?
That is to say frustrating and hard as hell.
True. There are multiple difficulty modes. There's a beginner mode, a casual mode, a normal mode, which I'm playing on, and a challenge mode. I believe there's like a boss rush stuff as well. Just first blush, coming away from only beating a Mega Man boss or two. Tyler, are you happy with this? I'm just trying to reserve my opinion because I've literally played for like 15 minutes, died, lost 3 lives, and I was like, okay. I'm like interested in it.
Back to Redbox.
I got like 4 days, bro. And it only cost me like $6, so I'm cool.
I am not sure. So, regular Mega Man is jump and shoot.
Jump and shoot, man.
There's a little bit of slide. Doesn't have to be a charge blast, but there's a charge blast.
Yeah, there's definitely all that stuff in this one.
I get that you wanted to implement something new to make it new Mega Man.
Yes.
Double gear system is very hard to control when you are not used to it and you're used to regular Mega Man.
So this double gear system, what it is essentially L1, R1. If you hit L1, you get a powered up Mega Blaster.
Yes.
If you hit R1, time slows down. They both share the same meter that fills up, and if the meter fills up, it goes on a cooldown and you can't use it.
Right.
I mean, it's basically just a way to power up your shots and slow down time with a limit.
Right.
I don't find myself using it as much. I use the slowdown time for some of like the platforming sections, but
yeah, that's what it's for.
But beyond that, like, yeah, it is a little bit weird. I haven't gotten enough super weapons, and I know that you can switch those using the triggers. So I'm not super weapons, but you know, boss weapons. I feel like once I start having to use both triggers and bumpers at the same time, it might get difficult. But at this point, I haven't found it too difficult to grasp onto. But only mainly because I only really use the slowdown time. I very rarely use the.
Yeah, I don't see a point in the power up. I mean, it's Mega Man has never been about how much can I burn through quickly,
yeah,
as much as you only have your blaster, your pellet blaster, and you shoot one at a time.
I think it's good. I don't think it's gonna come up and even compete with, like, let's say Mega Man 1 through 5. I think if you get closer, like even 5 arguable, I haven't played through it, I don't know, but once you get towards 7, 8, I'm not talking about 9 or 10, those retro remakes, but where they started to change it up a little bit, I think it's probably the best we've seen since that. Obviously X is better, But I don't think this is like the glorious super return that's going to put Mega Man back on the map.
No, I feel like they've done themselves a disservice, though. They've made this game very difficult on normal mode.
Yes.
Hard to completely wrap your head around and just understand right off the bat. There's no way. There is a way. I'm sure there is a way. But I feel, as a classic veteran Mega Man player, that this game is too hard for newcomers. This game is more difficult than it needs to be, and it's going to make people shy away from another one.
Mega Man 2 is arguably one of the easiest of the Mega Mans.
The Quick Man stage is the hardest stage in the game.
True. Mega Man 11, at this point, tepid recommendation, I'll say. It is like a $25 game, so really, how can you go wrong?
So I'm part of a Mega Man Discord.
Yes.
And these folks have already beaten this game and up and down, sideways.
Oh, it's a short game.
You get it. But, like, the dude beat the hardest difficulty in 4 hours.
Yeah.
These are seasoned players. They get it. One dude is making a custom Mega Man game. I'm not good at this game.
It's
it's not my game. It's not Mega Man 3.
I
know that game top to bottom. I don't know this game top to bottom yet.
I feel like we'll play this for the rest of the month, and we'll come away with either thumbs up, thumbs down. Currently, I'm a thumbs up, but like it's kind of wavering. I'm not sure yet. So if you liked Mega Man before, maybe pick it up or check out some gameplay. If you're new to the Mega Man franchise, I would say a better way to go is just the Mega Man Legacy Collection.
Yeah.
Or X Collection 1. That might be the better way to go. Same price or even cheaper. So Mega Man 11, fun stuff. Super Mario Party we already talked about. Momodora we did. I'm going to just talk about this one, and then me and Kevin will wrap up the game section with our favorite assassin, if you want to call him that or her that. Overcooked 2, real quick though, first. We've talked about Overcooked several times in the past. I know this for a fact, because Kevin told me earlier, Matt, haven't we already talked about this game? And I said, I think so, maybe, but I finally beat it with my partner. So, haha, I beat Overcooked 2 in your face, nerds. But honestly, what I wanted to say is it was really good. Because as soon as I was done with Overcooked 2, I went to my buddy's house and I played through the first 5 levels, or 5 worlds, that's like 30 levels, of Overcooked 1. Overcooked 2 feels like how you remember Overcooked 1 to control, because Overcooked 1 really doesn't control that well. It's kind of basic. The presentation leaves something to be desired. Overcooked 2 kind of ups all of that. It has multiple modes, fun stuff. But what I was referring to earlier about the DLC, they just released the Surf and Turf DLC, where you can make like fruits and stuff and like smoothies and all sorts of beachy things. And that was a $6 DLC. And I three-starred, well, I should say me and my partner, we three-starred every level. And then I got 1,000 achievement points in the game, which is like maybe another 2 hours of, you know, playing arcade mode or whatever. And then I still wanted to get that DLC. It's a good game, guys.
I'm telling you heard it here.
Overcooked 2. What I wanted to reiterate though is that if you maybe have never played Overcooked 1 and didn't want to play Overcooked 2 because you hadn't played the first one, I know there's people who do that. Just get Overcooked 2. Just get Overcooked 2. The hit detection or the picking up items is far, far better. You're not going to be sliding all over the place. There's some cool new ideas. Just, it has a lot of polish. It's fun to play with friends, and it's fun to play competitively. Overcooked 2 gets a big recommendation from me. I did a review of it, but you can't see that review yet. More to come on that. Guys.
What?
You know about it, Tyler. Just don't worry about it. We'll talk.
Okay.
Assassin. Creed.
Oh, sorry, I missed my cue.
It's okay. You can finish it off.
It's like high school all over again.
Yeah, we've all been there. Assassin's Creed.
Orja.
No, damn it, Kevin. You're off the team.
All right. Sorry. I'll
put your Iliad. Damn it.
Once again, 2 for 2.
Assassin's Creed.
0 for 2.
0 for 2. Assassin's Creed.
Trojan Horse.
Odyssey. God damn it, guys. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Me and Kevin playing this. I'm a little bit further than Kevin, but not... Look,
but that doesn't matter because I'm a descendant of Odysseus.
Kevin has really put in some hours on this.
Oh yeah, I'm 10 hours in, baby.
Yeah, me and Kevin, we the night it came out, we hopped in the party chat. You know, he played a few hours, I played a few hours, and then Kevin's a little bit slow on his game progression. I'm not gonna beat him up, but compared to me, who literally, I just play video games for a living.
I savor it.
Yeah, he played, but then I went on, I was like, I wonder how far Kevin's, motherfucker is like level 12. He played quite a few hours because I'm like 15 hours in and I'm level 15 or 16. I feel like I did a lot of the locations, skipped over maybe a few of them, but here's the thing with Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
That natural curiosity, you know, that runs these kind of games.
What are you playing in, guided or exploration mode?
Exploration.
Okay, that would make sense as to why. So that's the big thing that I wanted to bring up first. Here's the thing about Assassin's Creed Odyssey is that it's so goddamn ginormous, and you, Kevin, specifically, you haven't even uncovered all the features yet.
Oh, no. I mean, it's okay. Go ahead and say what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, I just want to say Assassin's Creed Odyssey is more like just The Witcher. We have broken away where Origins was the step towards RPG.
Yep.
This is a full
RPG.
I feel almost like they should have just called it Odyssey and not called it Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Because here's my biggest negative. There's no hidden blades.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
So it's like, what makes this an Assassin's Creed game that you can climb?
Like, it's just similar in gameplay, I think. I mean, it's just like, okay, we use the same engine. And
I mean, if you think about it, though, like, this is going to be a small digression, but you come back from where Assassin's Creed 2 was, where everything was, like, hold left trigger and then counterattack and you'd kill them.
Right.
Combat's completely different. It's Bloodborne combat now. Dialogue and questing is completely different. It's open world is completely different. And you don't have the hidden blades, and the assassins aren't a thing, and the main story is no longer Assassins versus Templars. None of what it is, the only thing that keeps it an Assassin's Creed game is the Animus stuff.
I would wager, though, that there will be more in that as you start to progress in the game, I would guess.
And that's kind of what I wanted to say, is that this game is so dense that I feel like we should kind of precursor it now, but we're going to be talking about this in 2 months.
It's going to be a while. This is the first game that has torn me away from Forsaken.
Yeah, I've
played less Forsaken than I have Assassin's Creed in this past week, and that is saying something, because I've weekly probably logged about 5 to 10 hours on Forsaken since it came out.
That's lowballing. Like I said, I was playing a lot of Forza. I'm level 80, which is, I think the highest person I've seen is 110. I'm getting up there, but I put aside a dozen hours. And this is also fresh off of me putting 40 hours into Assassin's Creed Origins. Kevin, you still need to take your copy of that game back, by the way. Thank you for letting me borrow it. But I restarted Origins and played from the beginning to like level 45, completed all the side quests, or not all the side quests, but completed the whole main quest and a bunch of side quests, and then started Origins like a week later, and I love it.
Dude.
If you like RPGs.
I was thinking about it, I'm like, man, this makes me want to go back and play the other Assassin's Creeds.
Origins is good. This was made by the people who made Assassin's Creed, or Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which I think is the best Assassin's Creed next to... Yeah.
A lot of people would argue with that.
We'll yeah, they would.
Oh, yeah, no. There's some fundamental differences.
It definitely had the best DLC, the Springheel Jack one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jack the Ripper?
That was sweet.
Springheel Jack was just in the game.
Right.
Jack the Ripper was the deal. That shit was so good. We'll talk about Assassin's Creed more. The main thing I wanted to bring up is that there's, like, it's very different in the way...
Let me give you a quick rundown for the people who haven't played it or don't plan on playing it. Just the basic...
Yeah, Kevin, why don't
not,
you
not conceptually
take...
what Assassin's Creed is, because you should probably know what that is by now.
Do you want to just take the reins on this, and I'll cover the little bits?
In.
Yeah, okay.
In.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, so Assassin's Creed is the first Assassin's Creed that really gives you a lot of options. It's less linear, even for an open-world game, than the other ones were. And the first indication of that is your choice to play either Alexios or Cassandra. Matt chose Alexios, I chose Cassandra. It's been kind of interesting that we've both diverged into different paths that the game allows you to explore, because we've talked about it after the fact without any planning, and we've chosen different things completely.
That's, yeah, there's a big focus on branching decisions, or not branching decisions, but decisions you make.
World-altering decisions.
Having an impact later on.
Yeah, but that's the way you guys are. Kevin is definitely more...
One way?
Yes, and you're the other.
You might want to sit down when you're talking. I'm just...
I was in pain. I'm sorry.
Kevin's butt in these chairs... Or not Kevin. Tyler's butt is not good on these chairs.
You're sitting on your hands again, dude.
That was worse.
All right, so you start out in Kefalonia, which is this tiny little poor island. I won't go too into detail on the storylines and everything like that, but basically, you are a Spartan who does not live in Sparta, because you were... Is that, I mean, should I, give that beginning part away. It's literally the first cutscene. Through circumstances, unfortunate circumstances, you've been separated from your family. You grew up in Kefalonia rather than Sparta.
You're a mercenary.
You are a mercenary. You have the Spear of Leonidas, which they haven't really... They've touched on it in the game so far, but they haven't really explained a whole lot about it. Whatever.
One of the main things I heard about the story is that it's almost too long for its own good. Yeah. The game is that it's too big for its own good.
Basically, the fundamental part of the game is you can fight for either Sparta or Athens. And as you move through the world, you encounter both Athenian and Spartan soldiers. It occurs during the Peloponnesian War, which, as a lot of you may or may not know, is where the movie 300 takes place in the timeline. Yes,
if you've seen the Gerard Butler kicking people down wells.
Which is also a move in the game.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Anyway, so you as you move through the world, you enter different regions that are controlled by either Athens or Sparta, and you alter whether those are controlled by killing people from Athens or Sparta, specifically leaders that run the politics in the local area.
You can fight them in big conquest battles eventually.
Yeah, once you weaken the state enough, you can fight a conquest which takes over the territory control for the other team. One of my favorite features about it expands upon the Philoctetes or something like that from the Origins game.
There's a mercenaries thing, which is...
Well, I'll explain that. But in Origins, how it worked was there was just a random NPC that roamed the entire world that would occasionally end up in the same town as you and just kick your ass if you encountered them, unless you were high enough level to fight them. It was kind of annoying. It always happened at the worst times, and they hunted you like a bloodhound.
Honestly, that's kind of what I feel about this one, though. That's why I would say I was trying to get not so deep into it, because I feel like we're gonna have dissenting opinions, and that's something we're gonna bring up in Game of the Year.
Well, I found the mercenary aspect to be more interesting. You have a wanted bar, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of like Grand Theft Auto. If you do enough stuff within the public eye, whether it's stealing, killing, it could be simple things, that bar slowly fills, and when it hits one of the five helmets that's on the bar, they send
one or five stars essentially.
They send a mercenary after you. If it hits two, you have two mercenaries looking for you. And then there's a Shadow of War style mercenary hierarchy that you fight your way up through. They range in, you know, a couple levels higher than you to lower than you, and whatever, and you encounter these actually named characters who all have strengths and weaknesses that you can uncover by killing other mercenaries and finding more info on them. It's a really interesting system, and, I mean, so far I've had a blast with it.
It's an interesting system, and this is because we're far enough, we're just, like, splitting up. You've played only a few hours less than me, but we're still early on enough that the mercenary system is cool until they unveil another system that is very much like it, but far better. And the mercenary system makes it looks very shallow. I almost would have preferred the Philoctetes because of these other things that you'll figure it out.
I've killed like 12 of them. I've killed a lot of them.
No, I've run through. I think I'm at 18 now.
I think the coolest thing about it is you have a couple options. If you are, you know, if you have a big 5-star level, let's say for, you know, sake of metaphor, you can either pay your bounty, which can be really expensive or not expensive at all, depending. Or you can find the person who sicked the mercenary on you and killed them. And at one point, I killed one of the Athenian leaders, and someone saw me, and I instantly got 5 mercenaries after me. All I did was run over to a stronghold, find the guy, kill him, boom.
Alternatively, what you can do is open your map, hover over to the icon, and anytime pay off your bounty, which is both cool and not cool, depending on how, you know, when you want it to happen. It's a whole lot of stuff. Basically, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is much bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of systems at play. There's a whole lot of stuff. The biggest thing I'll say is that it's not really... When you talk about Skyrim, and it's like how it's massive, you can go anywhere. You cannot go anywhere in this game. It's still gated off by your level. So while you could go and look somewhere, if you walk, you know, to the wrong mountain and enter a level 45 zone, you're not going to be able to do anything there. One person just looks at you and they're an enemy player, then you're dead, essentially. So it's a guided experience in some ways, but that was the main thing I wanted to bring up, I guess. And we'll do this as we move into the mobile corner and finish off the show. They had this exploration versus guided mode, which guided mode is just what you've come to know from Assassin's Creed. Basically, there's an objective marker. That's where you need to go to do your quest. Exploration mode, what they've done is they have removed that marker. Characters will give you context clues as you talk to them, and then it'll give you maybe like a list of things. Like this person is east of this landmark. They might be living in some sort of this kind of domicile, like whatever. It's things that you'll have to look for, but it's not going to tell you right out. And I thought that was an interesting way of doing it. Assassin's Creed right now, I'm going to say if you liked Assassin's Creed, the older ones. If you liked Origins, buy Odyssey. If you like the older ones, you're going to want to watch a lot of gameplay or a few reviews before you purchase this one, because it is definitely not the Assassin's Creed that you know from pre-Syndicate. It's definitely its own beast now. And with that said, we are done with normal games. We have moved on to Mobile Corner. Guys.
Matt.
Dragalia lost.
Yeah.
Tyler's butt is hurting, so I'm going to let you guys talk about this real quick, and then I'm going to finish off the show with Old School RuneScape, which is the game that I was playing. But guys, tell me about Dragalia Lost, as we talked about it last week, but more stuff.
Tyler, take it away, buddy.
Well, okay, so there was a time when Kevin and I discussed Unison League at length on this show. Is that correct?
It was like 10, 15 episodes ago. You guys talked about Unison. That was a lot of Season 3.
That was a lot. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Kevin and I like gachapon games, and if you don't know what that means, Kevin,
we played Unison League for like a year and a half, 2 years.
2 years. Solid. Easily.
That was definitely season three.
The fundamental crux of gachapon games is that you use a premium currency that is drip-fed to you by playing, or you could be a whale and spend a ton of money on it, and you take random summons or random... you know, dispenses of characters that range in, you know, value from nothing to amazing.
3 to 5.
Specifically to Dragalia Lost, 3 to 5. And you press your luck. In
I'm
some
just teasing
games,
Tyler for nose breathing loud.
In some games, the premium currency is scarce. In some games, it's abundant. And I'm happy to report that in Dragalia Lost, it is extremely abundant.
Hey, you guys said that you did like a bunch of you've done a bunch of power moves or something like that. Their ultimate summon.
Yeah, tenfold summons.
Yeah, I think that's what you said, that you'd done a bunch of them and you hadn't encountered anything that was like, hey, pay more.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, that's. I mean, as far as summons go, that's really it.
Yeah.
I have a little to say about the gameplay. I mean,
you guys are just playing a lot.
Just to give you
a
an
lot.
Idea.
Like it's pretty addicting.
The premium currency is called Wormite.
Yeah.
You get like 5 per quest completion and a couple other like quest prerequisites that you meet. So you end up with like 25 per quest complete, I think.
Yep.
There are daily tasks that you can complete that also give you more.
Yep.
There's random achievements you can do that get you more.
I saw you guys doing a raid,
There's daily stuff. There's raids.
Playing online with people gives you about like 50 per, mm-hmm. I think. 50 per different person to a cap.
Yep. So you can get 150 if you play co-op with people.
Yep.
And to give you an idea, to give you context as to how valuable that is, a tenfold summon, which is the most the most rewarding, I guess, summon in the game, is 1,500.
Okay,
so you do that 10 times, you have access to what would otherwise be relegated towards premium players.
Right. So Tyler said, not much to talk about on the gameplay specific, but we talked about it last week, you know, it is your standard kind of action RPG with the gacha elements. I just saw you guys talking about it a lot in the group chat, and I think I just wanted to bring it up again because we only talked about it for a little bit last week.
I want to clarify, I think he actually said there is a lot.
More to discuss. Yeah.
The depth is...
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The depth is increasing as we play.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So what we're finding is that there are, I want to say, 10 different weapons that you can use.
Yep.
Each of which is a different fighting style.
And only certain user characters can use certain weapons.
And on top of that, there are certain equipments, whether it be weapons, worm prints, which are these like little passive cards, or dragons that increase all of your character stats at the same time giving you specific hidden bonuses. And allowing you to transform into a dragon.
Special moves, et cetera.
Special moves, yeah, on top of weapons. Your character has their own little, I'm going to call it a skill ring, that you can unlock different moves that you can use within the game. Not only is it like an active that you have to build up, but there are things you can do, like the, if you press and hold, you'll get a little cursor and you can slingshot your guy into the enemies.
And it like breaks their shields and right. stuff like that.
Is that how you break guards?
Yes.
I'm so dumb.
Well, the other thing is, like, you can create weapons that unlock different moves for you. It's right. very much so a game where you have to grind out a lot of stuff, but the grind is more passive than other games I've seen.
Yes.
There's only been one or two instances in the week or two that we've been playing where I've had to specifically locate an item that I need for an upgrade or a enhancement or something like that.
The nicest thing about that is when you need an item, you don't have to like figure out where it goes. You just click on it and it tells you where to find it. It brings you directly to that quest.
That's nice.
And it just says, go through here.
Nothing's worse than hunting for stuff and not knowing where it actually comes from.
Right.
The other thing that I'm currently really avoiding, but it really is the unsung hero of this game and really shows the amount of love that Nintendo has put into this, is that as you level characters, as you level dragons, you unlock small story snippets about those characters. So not only are you increasing
you
their power
love that
within
shit,
the
Kevin.
Game, it's a really clever way to really only spoon-feed you what you want. Because what Tyler and I have discovered is that most of the characters start out as 3-star, which really isn't fantastic. But if you like that character, you can promote them to a 5-star rating, which makes them very strong. So if you find a character you really like, not only is it viable endgame strategy, but you also unlock more of their story and you get to know more about that character.
You're rewarded for playing as the characters you like.
Exactly. And it's all voice acted.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, it's fully voice acted. Like, not just the main characters. Every character is voice acted.
And the story is compelling. The characters are funny. And yeah. It's really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fantastic mobile game.
This is who is it developed by? It was published by Nintendo.
Cygames,
okay. Do we know anything else they've done?
Grand Blue Fantasy.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the number one mobile game in Japan.
Okay, that makes sense. I hadn't heard of them before, and Dragalia Lost it's not necessarily my game.
It came out of nowhere. I mean, for me, at least.
Agreed.
I hadn't heard about it at all. The first time that Kevin was like, hey, look, this new Nintendo mobile game, I was like, what?
Like, I genuinely recommend everybody try it, because it's easy enough that you can enjoy it as a casual player, but it's also... there's enough depth there for someone who wants more out of a mobile game. My favorite example so far is, you know, you get through the first 2 or 3 chapters of the game, and then the game starts getting a little bit harder. You start having these random elements of, like, spike floors shooting up. Or
does
like,
it feel paywall-y, though?
No, not at all. That's the thing. That's the amazing thing about this, is we have not hit a paywall yet. And it doesn't seem that paying will reduce... that grind or whatever, you know, like...
I mean, it'll reduce the grind. It won't reduce the difficulty.
Right. So, like, you're running through a level, right? And in chapters 1, 2, and 3, you can literally hit auto and it'll play the game for you.
Tyler's ass is in, like, deep pain, I could tell.
I'm fine now.
Once you start getting to, like, chapter 4 and stuff, trees will fall as you walk past them. They add little bits here and there. You have to start dodging. You have to start looking for AoE attacks and actually pay attention to the game. And it
makes you want to play co-op more because your AI teammates suck.
Yeah.
I like games that include everybody together. It make you want to feel... I've actually jumped into something else. Super Spell Heroes. I got all you guys on the friends list now. It's very nice to click the good job for winning button and get all those extra bonuses and stuff. So I like games that encourage cooperative play, but still have their own single player, well, even though Super Spell Heroes is PvP, they have their own focus, so it's good. Do we have anything else we want to say about that? I'm sure we're going to talk about this at the end of the year, it sounds like. Or we'll see.
Everything else we know right now is like in-depth minutiae, and I think we're good. I think we're good leaving it at that.
Hour 25 is another time and place to get into minutiae.
Tyler's like a real big stat block head.
Yeah!
And I just feed that block habit head. Because I just ask him what to do, and he tells me.
Min-max.
Kevin's a min-maxer, and I'm the person that maxes the mins.
Yes. So I just go on Reddit, and I'm like, all right, what's the best thing? And I do it.
With that said, Kevin, do you have a spicy game fact you prepared for us?
I do.
Okay, if we're all done with that, I just want to...
Yeah, tell me about old school RuneScape.
So I saw another ad.
I played 10 minutes of it.
I saw another ad on Facebook. So come into old school RuneScape. And I clicked the comments expecting to see more people complaining about it being a beta, because that's what always happens.
Right.
Clicked it. and people weren't complaining about it being a beta. People were just complaining about whatever the hell they want to complain about, because that's what Facebook is, people complaining. And I was like, oh shit, hit the motherfucking install button, hit that MFN new account, started on that MFN tutorial island, and oh my god, I did not realize how good RuneScape is. Psych, that's a lie. This game is poop. It's okay, it's not poop. If you played RuneScape a lot.
RuneScape.
No, if you played RuneScape back in the day, like yes. 10 years, 15 years ago, and you have a lot of nostalgia for it, it'll scratch that itch somewhat. Problem for me is that my phone is so small that I can't make out the icons on the mini-map. There are quality of life things like the questing, which I love questing.
It was a nightmare to click on fucking anything.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Navigation is tough. The inventory, they want you to drop down menus with these tiny icons. I put my pointer finger over and it's covering up half the drop down menu. It's unwieldy to play. And then once you get to the actual game, you finish Tutorial Island where they show you how to play the game and you enter the real world of RuneScape. The draw distance is so trash you can't see like two houses in front of you. It all takes a very long time to load and kick things to you, like, different menus. And to that point, like I said, the quality of life, like, I got the first quest, which is you help the chef in the castle. Everyone knows you can talk to the chef in the castle, and he's like, I need you to get me milk, eggs, and flour from these three locations. No objective markers. You look at the map. The locations aren't marked. And, like, or if they are, I didn't figure it out in the 30 minutes I was playing. And even then, when I was like, screw it, I'm just going to go explore. The draw distance is so bad, you can't tell what you're walking up on until you walk into the actual, like, building. What this made me want is, I was like, I feel like I should boot up the browser and just play old school RuneScape with because I want
to
play
it. The only way to do it.
Set. I feel
your
like...
economy is being ruined by Santa hats and girlfriends.
Is there... Selling girlfriend. Is there a version of this on PC?
Because I think sure Kevin, there is.
Yeah, you can play old school RuneScape on PC.
Because there's new a RuneScape. New RuneScape. No, I don't want new school specifically. Because I've heard about a lot of people complaining about how they changed a lot of things and they copied off of other games as well.
I bet you they have a battle royale mode.
I played new RuneScape for like 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So I guess generally, you said you played it for like what, 10, this news?
10 minutes, yeah. I think I chopped down a tree.
And Tyler, did you play anything?
I talked to Tutorial Man and I turned it off.
I talked to Tutorial
I was like,
Man.
Wow, this is really no.
This is boring.
This is boring.
I actually got to, I think, like chopping down a tree, cooking a shrimp, burning it, and then telling me to do it again. I was like, ugh. I was like, I should not. I think I made a mistake here. I made a mistake here. But then there was the Tutorial Island progress bar, and I was like, I'm going to feel like a total chotch if I come here and I didn't finish Tutorial Island, because I know these boys are going to finish Tutorial Island.
The Skinner box turned on and Matt's like, gotta finish them.
We all have the same opinion of this. Don't download old school
RuneScape. And it's $11 a month.
Is it?
Is it still, or did you get the
trial? When I joined, thank you. I wanted to bring that 11. Up. No, I didn't. I just did a new account and there was no charge.
Well, there's a trial, right. There's a trial, but like,
we're not talking about premium. We were talking about beta access is $11 a month.
Oh, at this point, it's free.
Okay, so now it's free to play.
Yeah.
Don't waste your money
for a beta.
Yeah, no. It's free to play now.
They're Jagex. They're probably broke.
And like I said, there is that thing where there's the free quests and the premium quests. Santa hats. And stuff like that. Yeah, 17 mil in that economy. Santa hats up for sale. With that said, Kevin is going to prepare himself to deliver the spicy game fact while I hit you with social media recommendations. You know what? We didn't do
social media recommendations.
Social media and our recommendations.
Excuse me.
And then I also forgot about the other recommendations that we were now doing. The spooky stuff. We're doing buy or listen to a thing or read a thing, play a thing, watch a thing.
I'll start
for my book, which you can either read or listen. We're going to do Hell House. That's hell, like the opposite of heaven. House by Richard Matheson. He is the guy who did I Am Legend, an acclaimed author. It is pretty gory. It's also a bit slow. It follows a group of paranormal investigators in the 1970s who are going in to see if this house that is called the Hell House is actually haunted, or if it's just all a big hoax, and it's read the book. It's probably my favorite horror book in a while. For my watch, the original Saw. Did I do that last week?
No,
my Boar James was last week. The original Saw. Yeah. A lot of people give the Saw franchise a bad rap, which I understand. It, you know, once you get into the middle of the series, it's kind of torture porn-ish. But the first one, excellent crime movie with a little bit of horror to add. And for my play, Resident Evil remake, Resident Evil 1 remaster, whatever they call it, the GameCube version, the Xbox One version. I want you to go into the Spencer Mansion with Jill Valentine and Chris. Why can't I think of his last name?
Redfield.
Chris Redfield. Thank you, bud.
I don't even play these games.
Yeah. No.
It's a Capcom character. I know them all.
It's okay. You like Resident Evil. You just don't like playing them.
Capcom.
You like playing it.
No.
Tyler, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation for a read, for a good read.
Yeah, give me a good read.
I want you to read the Lock and Key series by Joe Hill.
Damn, that's something I haven't read yet, but I want to get into it. Those are the comics, yeah?
That is a comic book series, a graphic novel series, if you will, about three young children who move to Stephen King's house, I'm pretty sure.
Stephen King's house.
And there are all sorts of keys, magical keys, that do certain things. There's a key that opens up your head. And all your emotions are inside, and you can mess with them. Or you can add things, or you can take things away.
That's actually really cool. I didn't really know what the idea of this comic was.
That's just one of the keys. There are 40 keys.
How long of a run is this comic? Graphic novel, I should say.
I think it took me a week, but I like binged it.
Okay. They have this on Hoopla, which is a small...
Hoopla.
Small, yeah, sidebar. Not to interrupt you, Tyler, but when we say these read, watch, play... there is an application called Hoopla, H-O-O-P-L-A, in which you use your local library card, and then you can access whatever audiobooks they have. It depends on your library, so hit or miss here, but like Richard Matheson's Hell House is on Hoopla. The entire run of Lock and Key is on Hoopla. I know that for a fact, because I borrowed
it. Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of Joe Hill's, I think, besides... The new, whatchamacallit, compilation book, anthology, short story, whatever, that he put out. Strange Weather.
Strange Weather. Oh, man, that's fantastic.
They have all of Joe Hill's stuff on Hoopla. So pretty much anything Tyler recommends, you can listen on that app for free if you have a library card. But continue. Lock and Key for your watch. What about your...
That's my read.
Or your read, my bad. What about your watch or your play? Do you have any?
I don't really play a lot of horror.
Pull one from the back of your memory. You've seen a horror game. I did Resident Evil Remake. Do you do one?
Resident Evil 7.
Ooh. There you go. It's a Resident Evil themed one.
I done did it.
Play Resident Evil 7 in VR too.
I mean, that was super spooky. Like, that was also kind of gory.
Yeah, gore warning for that. I would say gore warning for Resident Evil. Not really big gore warning for Resident Evil 1, but yeah, gore warning for 7 for sure. Gore warning for Lock and Key?
No.
Okay.
At worst, maybe, like, lose a hand.
Okay.
Kind of deal.
Well, I mean, I've read a lot of Joe Hill stuff, and Nosferatu, bro. That shit's fucked up.
Oh, boy.
I think we'll both recommend that.
That gets violent.
And a watch.
A watch? Okay.
Got anything spooky?
Kinda.
Hey, man, Tyler, you're not the biggest proponent of the horror season, so anything you're doing here is a step up of what I've expected.
Right, so I'm going to stick with the gore theme here.
Hell yeah.
And now
I think I know what you're going to say. Don't eat.
Please. What?
I thought you said you were going to say don't eat. I think I know the one you're going to talk about.
No.
Okay.
Elfin Lied.
Ah.
Is an anime that follows. Her name's Lucy. And she's got a parasite in her.
Hell yeah.
There's a show called Parasite. Wow. That might have been a better choice, but I went with this one because I watched this one all the way through, and it's pretty messed up.
Can you spell that for me?
Elfin Lied.
Okay, cool. Is that where do you watch that at?
Boy, I don't know. I watched it online.
Crunchyroll? Okay, cool.
I don't know. That's
an old one.
That's a highly mature.
It's not old, but it's older.
That's a very mature show. In the first episode, I think she kills like 400 people.
Now you got an anime, you got a graphic novel, you got audiobooks, you got games. Kevin, what do you have to recommend?
Yo, okay, I got a couple things.
We'll only do one for each, because we got two more.
I know. I love you. First one is a book called Eureka by William Deal. No,
I have it right here.
No, I'm just kidding. First one is a little bit spooky, but it's more on the eerie side. Not really eerie.
We got enough gore stuff this week.
Sawbones just came out today. I picked it up on the way here.
Sawbones.
It's from the hit podcast Sawbones by
So it's like some
Justin
medical
and Sidney McElroy.
Yeah,
some medical
Dr. Sidney McElroy. Excuse me. Medical oddities, history, grave robbing, tapeworms, all that fun stuff. So it's like that kind of
medical
mystery. It's not scary. It's just weird. It's weird things that people have done in the name of science, medical science specifically.
What should we watch?
Following in that medical science theme is a movie called Autopsy. It's from 2008. It was listed on the After Dark Horror Fest's 8 Films to Die For.
That's some quality stuff, usually.
It is a horror film directed by Adam Girash. He's and produced by the same person who did the Final Destination series. So
Final Destination's ridiculous.
Basically, these kids go to Mardi Gras. And on their way home, they get into a car accident.
And that's the end of the movie.
Yep.
They get picked up by an ambulance and taken to a strange hospital.
That's scary.
After their arrival, the five friends start disappearing one by one.
I like this. Keep going.
It's creepy. It's gory. It's gory.
Gore warning. This is gory. A lot of gore. A lot of gore warning.
This one's real gory. It's like gorgasm.
Hell. Well, most of the After Dark ones usually are.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue. Sorry.
Play.
Watch. Play.
Yeah, you did a read. You did a watch. What do you got? What do you got? What do you want us to play?
What do I want you to play? How about Don't Starve? That's kind of creepy.
Hey, Don't Starve is fun.
That's
a real
freak
good,
you out real quick.
That's a real, real good eerie game. That's not like scary. That's eerie.
It's a survival game. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It Don't Starve or Don't Starve Together. It's on Steam, Xbox, Switch. I think it's
basically
on pretty much everything
at this point.
Hell yeah!
Oh man. That's,
also, quick shout out to some good old Northeast Ohio attractions. Pioneer Waterland has their second year doing their Fall Fright Fest.
Ah, that sounds fun.
Got free tickets, went to it. It was fantastic. It was really well done.
Sick invite, bro. Is it haunted houses?
You go solo.
So basically,
it's just Kevin.
At Pioneer Waterland, they have a bunch of water attractions and then a campsite way in the back of the woods.
Okay.
In the campsite, there's like 5 or 6 pavilions that they converted into individual
a sleepaway
haunted houses.
Camp.
They're just open air pavilions. They built walls on them and everything.
Oh,
converted
cool.
Each one into a different themed haunted house.
That's fun.
Like a haunted circus. There's like a Resident Evil family dinner kind of one. There was this really fun one that was like more of a maze with creepy people following you and kind of like herding you in one direction and things like that. Boy, howdy, was it fun.
I historically do not like
haunted
houses.
Haunted houses, but I still had a blast.
Specifically because I have anxiety and I don't want to pay people to give me things that I take medication to get rid of. But I do like the idea of haunted houses.
The beauty of it was it was on Saturday night that we went when we had a really, really big storm.
Oh.
And so for an hour leading up to us entering the haunted house, it was literally a dark and stormy night. There was lightning that was like illuminating the path every couple of seconds.
It sounds like a perfect time to go.
There was this really awesome point where you exit one of the haunted houses and then you look out on this field, and in between you and the field itself is a nice big wide river. So you hear the water running, and then in the distance you just see these two giant bonfires, just huge. And I don't know what they did to make it look like it, but it almost looked like there were like bodies burning on the pile. It was cool as hell.
So
like,
do
they
that.
Did a lot with what they had going.
Do that thing. Guys, we have so many recommendations. That's like 9 or 8, 10 different things you can do. And we're going to recommend a few more things here before we get into the spicy game fact. Well, we're going to just do the show wrap.
I would like to recommend one more spooky thing before we go. So I have a couple of artists that I like that are kind of spooky, but kind of silly, but kind of... Just listen to this one. There's a band called Creature Feature.
Ah!
And the album is called It Was a Dark and Stormy Night, and I really like that one. I hope you enjoy that one.
Pop those into your earbuds. And if you find yourself wanting another podcast, here are a few podcasts, as we always recommend. If you like anime, Shonen Trash, our friends over there, always checking out some new or old animes each week. We got our buddies over at Choose My Own Adventure for an actual play podcast with a audience participation twist. And we love Almost Better Than Silence, another video game comedy show with the hosts Brendan and the rest of... I always forget.
Doug and his crew.
Yeah, Doug, Brendan and Doug and the rest of them. Social media stuff. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, the show Twitter is at SuperGameCast64. But if you want to talk to me, I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at T. Tramaglio.
You can email us if you're a person who does email, SGC64mail@gmail.com. It's okay if you don't. The thing that's really popping right now, the Insta, baby. The Instagrams. Oh, yeah. If you want to hit us up on Instagram, that's at SuperGameCast64 for the official one. I've been posting a lot of stuff. That's at Amazon_XD. Do you want to give yours, Kevin? You've been posting. You posted Assassin's Creed.
I'm at Kin_Krubs.
Hell yeah.
Kin_Krubs.
Tyler, are you posting?
I'm not posting a whole lot right now, but I will be. I got another giveaway coming up here by the end of the month. Should I say what?
Oh, yeah. We should do that on...
Tyler's got a whole house to give away.
We should do that on Instagram. We should do that on the Super Gamecast Instagram.
Okay.
We could do that. Yeah. You should subscribe to Super Gamecast Instagram, because we're giving away Tyler what game?
Well, I'm going to give away a copy of Soma.
It's such a good game. I played that.
And it's spooky.
Christmas 2016, dude. I loved that game. I remember the year and the date. Christmas 2016 is when I beat that game, because it was a fantastic game.
I remember Rush played it.
Yeah. It's
friend of the show, Rush.
It's definitely not my kind of game. I'm glad I got it. But
it's a very spooky game. With that said, I think we are done with the show. Guys, another excellent episode of Super Gamecast 64. We are two episodes deep into the Spooktober Spectacular. As always, we love you so much. Kevin's going to have a spicy game fact here for you. Hey, Kevin, why don't you hit him with the spiciest?
This one is themed.
Nice!
All right, dude. So we've been talking about Assassin's Creed and everything, and everybody knows about the eagle imagery.
Yes.
Every character that's been playable in the game has had some link to that bird of prey.
Yes.
But did you know?
Did you
know that the A logo is the outline of an eagle's skull if looked upon from below?
No shit!
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it was this. Oh. I thought it was the seashell, because that's what it is in Origins. Aya picks up a seashell off the beach, and it has the Assassin's logo, and that's when they made the origin. Oh, it does though.
I'll post that on the Instagram.
Yeah,
I just pulled up a picture.
Hit the save on that. But I just want to say, canon. It's the bottom of a seashell, canon wise, or maybe it's just in Aya's head. Guys, this is a great episode. We talked about old school stuff. We talked about new school stuff. We talked about all sorts of school stuff and some spooky stuff. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week or the week after, either Halloween week or the preceding week. Tons of stuff. We talked about what's coming out. Thanks for the spicy game fact. This one's dragging on. This ending's dragging on. Oh, we'll do the spooky redux again. Everyone loves it. Tyler, tell them what they should imagine.
Oh, your brand new game completely underwater.
Yeah, you've also gained experience. If you're listening to this, that means you're level 13. 14, shit. Level 14, Kevin, you're level 16. Imagine a world completely underwater. I love you guys. Goodbye.